Right now, we are joined by someone who is also following the election very closely, Mark Dorison, who is the chair of the Orange County Board of Commissioners. How are you?
Oh, I couldn't be any better. How are you, Aaron?
I'm doing good. So early voting, really strong. Turnout's high. That's good. Turnout's high across the political spectrum, which I guess is good as well. You know, we want everyone to turn out and vote. But the fact that everyone is voting means it's that much more important for you to vote if you haven't already, right?
Exactly. And it's the turnout numbers are very encouraging. Mm-hmm. I think I'm sure we're going to eclipse 2014. I'm hoping we will encroach on 2016.
We're going to get close, I think.
But it is, you know, we do have a longer period this year, which is good. The Sunday voting, which happened this week, was a great turnout for that, which is encouraging. It's the first time we've had that in Orange County. And I think that, you know, just want folks to remember that if you didn't register or if you moved since the last time you voted and you didn't re-register, early voting is the time to do that. You can register and vote at the same time. You cannot do that on Election Day. It's one of the things that people still get confused about. And so we used to run the election protection hotline, which was to answer voters' questions on election day. And one of the common calls was, oh, I thought I could vote and register on the same day, which, again, you can do that during early voting, but you cannot do that on election day. So,
yeah, speaking with Mark Dorison, and kind of the big story here locally today is the Board of Governors meeting earlier today. Margaret Spelling is officially announcing that she'll be stepping down from her position at the beginning of March of next year. And we were talking about some of the controversies that flared up during her just 2.5 years now on the job. HB2 is one, obviously Silent Sam is ongoing. The other one from last year, of course, was the fight over the Center for Civil Rights on the UNC Chapel Hill campus, which you were moderately involved in. So that means that you've had a chance to be very closely in connection with the Board of Governors and Margaret Spelling. So thoughts about her announced departure today?
Well, it's interesting. When Margaret Spelling was picked to be the president, if you'd have told me there'd come a time where she would not be conservative enough for the Board of Governors, I probably would have laughed and said, you're crazy. I think what we've seen is during that 3 years, a Board of Governors that has moved much further to the right has a much more pronounced and open political agenda, and that they have not been able to or get her to fall in line as readily as they would like. I heard the press conference today. It was very, you know, it was very lovey-dovey between Harry Smith and Margaret Spellings. But I think, you know, anybody who's paying attention has seen that this current Board of Governors is one that is really chafed under the idea that they don't control everything. And mm-hmm. So I'm not surprised that she's leaving. And I know that if they're thinking of a parting gift for her, there's a statue that they have in storage that I'm sure would look lovely in her Texas yard.
And melt it down and turn it into something even nicer.
That's
know,
right.
Something
that's
like
right.
that. Yeah. So so that means the search process is going to begin, and we're going to get a new president on March 2nd to replace Margaret Spellings. And if you're right, and that's kind of my suspicion too, then we're going to end up with someone replacing Margaret Spellings who's even kind of further to the right or more kind of openly partisan than Spellings was. So for people who are concerned about that or who see that as being UNC moving in the wrong direction, I don't know what can be done in terms of influencing the search process, but what about just influencing the university in general? What can people do to kind of continue or work to keep UNC as the kind of place that we want it to be?
Well, throughout those controversies that you mentioned around the university in the last few years, HB2, the Silent Sam, the Center for Civil Rights, there was a tremendous amount of engaged activism from students primarily, but also from faculty and staff. I think that those voices have been very powerful. They're not, the Board of Governors has not been particularly receptive to that, but there is a critical value in pushing back and letting the decision makers know what their vision for the future of the university is and how it should look. So I hope that folks will continue to stay engaged in this struggle. Hopefully they'll be, after the election in November, the legislature will look different. Now, that's who appoints the Board of Governors. Of course, there's a lag process, but certainly a more progressive legislature will maybe be able to wield some influence from the other side as well. So, again, getting back to voting, getting back to people participating, but also really, I think really pushing from the inside, from the university, the staff, the faculty, and the students. Their voice is critical, and when it has been ignored, that in itself has been incredibly valuable to raise the profile of how these decisions are getting made.
Speaking with Mark Dorison, Orange County Board of Commissioners, orangecountync.gov is the county's website. And let's turn to county commissioner issues. One of the ones that kind of came up this week that we haven't actually talked about yet on this show was a statement from the entire board with regard to the still ongoing controversy surrounding the barn of Chapel Hill, which for people, and tell me when I start to get this wrong, because there's a lot of specifics here, I'm not sure. So the barn of Chapel Hill is looking I've already completely lost it. What are they looking to do? I know neighbors are concerned about the hosting of parties and weddings and things
like
that.
So the barn of Chapel Hill is an event space where they have weddings and other parties and events, but the question is that business actually supplement the agricultural enterprise? In other words, there are very limited restrictions on how counties can regulate what they call in the law bona fide farms, and that includes the inability to regulate sort of secondary uses, agritourism type businesses like an event center or a stand that sells products, or a Maple View type of setting.
Right.
And so the ongoing controversy has been between the neighbors and the barn and the county is whether or not the barn is actually a bona fide farm that has this secondary use, or is it in fact just an event space and therefore should not be allowed to operate.
Yeah, that's
and
got so, like a garden out back to make it look
right,
like a
that's
farm
right.
kind of
that,
thing.
That
yeah.
they've stuck in flowers and some other beehives and things, but really those are all secondary to the catering business. Mm-hmm. So there have been neighbors have made numerous complaints. They've been investigated by the planning department. There have been several cases brought before the Board of Adjustment, and several of those have been subsequently appealed to the Superior Court. And what we need a final determination on is this underlying question: Does this property meet the statutory requirements as a farm? In which case, the county doesn't have any power to regulate it, or is it not a farm? In which case, the county does. There have been differences of opinions about that. The statutes that sort of define how you say whether something's a farm are very broad. They give really a lot of leeway. I mean, they're really designed to bolster agriculture, and so they give a lot of leeway to the definition. But the challenge for the board has been, and the reason this statement came out, is every time there's an event that's held there, we get another set of complaints. There's another investigation by the planning department. There's another appeal to the Board of Adjustment, and when there's a decision, it ends up again getting to the Superior Court. And until we get a definitive ruling from the court, this is going to continue. The neighbors are going to continue to be frustrated. The property owners are going to continue to be frustrated. The county is resources are being taxed in a way that we cannot get to a final resolution. So what we decided, we asked the county attorney. There are, I think, three cases sitting at the court already. There's another one heading up from the Board of Adjustment. So we've asked the county attorney to ask the court to consolidate everything and to make an expedited decision in this matter so we can have some finality. And then we'll, that is what we need, that kind of legal determination. And so, and that's what we're trying to seek. It's really in the interest of trying to get some finality, to really clarify what everyone's rights and responsibilities are, and then to be able to move forward.
Is the concern that the Superior Court is moving too slowly, or is it just the fact that there's all these different cases and they need to be consolidated in order for the Superior Court to be able to move more quickly?
Well, I think the court is moving too slowly. I'm not sure objectively you could say, the cases come up as they come. But what is critical is there's constantly new complaints happening, and you go through the process, and there's an investigation, there's a Board of Adjustment hearing, and then there's an appeal. And so we need the resolution because we sort of have a continuing, legal battle that cannot be effectively resolved by the Board of Adjustment and the county and between the neighbors. So that's why it's really imperative that a court, you know, because it's not only going to decide these four cases in front of it, but it's going to determine how all of us collectively move forward in the community and in balancing these interests.
When the Superior Court rules, will there then be an appeal up to the Court of Appeals or the Supreme Court?
Well, that depends on, there certainly could.
Yeah,
I mean, of
okay.
course, there certainly could. There could be an appeal to the Court of Appeals and then potentially to the Supreme Court. And so, but certainly once we have at least a court ruling, we'll have a little bit more guidance, mm-hmm. at least how we proceed while those appeals are pending.
Again, speaking with Mark Dorison, OrangeCountyNC.gov for more information. Other things happening around Orange County that people ought to know about?
Well, there's always so much happening around Orange County that people ought to know about. It's so exciting. We have a meeting next week. We were going to get an update from Go Triangle. One of the interesting mm-hmm. bit of news this week on the light rail is we did hear that the state has approved the land donations from UNC and NCCU, valued at $14.5 million. And the Durham VA has entered into a memorandum of agreement to donate part of their land for the light rail project. So that's a big step forward, something that's been being negotiated for a long time. And so, again, interesting seeing that coming forward. We're going to get a report from Go Triangle, and then we're undergoing an FTA, interim review of the project, which we'll hopefully have, before the end of the year. And then we'll know where we are going forward to submitting the final grant.
Next meeting of the board is Thursday, November 1st, OrangeCountyNC.gov for more information on Orange County government. Mark Dorison, thank you so much.
Always great to see you, Aaron.